We all know polls can be misleading, but so can group socialized moods. What is that? Well, for instance, Derek Thompson writes that many Democrats have grown pessimistic in recent weeks as they brace for an unorthodox election and the possibility that President Trump won't accept a peaceful transfer of power. But despite this dark mood among many on the left, Nate Silver at 538 is clocking Biden's chances of winning right now at 78%, compared to 57.8% for Hillary Clinton at this point in the 2016 campaign. So where are these numbers coming from, and should voters even pay attention, or, for Democrats anyway, stick with this group socialized despair? Derek Thompson is staff writer at The Atlantic. He joins us from Washington, as he does every Monday. Derek, hi.
Good to be here. Thank you.
And we should say you agree with Nate Silver in that 2020 is very different from 2016 in a way that you say favors Biden. So explain that first.
Yeah, I think there's two really big important differences between 2020 and 2016. The first is that Biden's advantage over Trump is a lot larger than Hillary Clinton's was at this time in the race 4 years ago. And second, it's more durable. It's more consistent. And that's in large part because there are fewer undecided voters in 2020 than there were in 2016. Both of these, I think, are relatively good pieces of news for Biden. There are other important signs that you could take if you were looking for pieces of optimism about the Biden campaign. He's doing better in Arizona. He's doing better among the white working class in the upper Midwest, in Ohio, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan. But the two most important things that I'm looking at are the durability of Biden's lead and its size, which really has not fallen below 6 percentage points on average since really before this pandemic started. In many ways, you could say this has been a really boring general election season because the gap between Biden and Trump has been so, so steady.
And for people screaming at their radios, Nate Silver got it wrong in 2016. We'll get to that. But first, what about the role of undecided voters? Because both parties are saying there just aren't that many of them.
Yeah, this is a really important point that I actually don't see a lot of people talking about enough. One of the reasons why 2016 was a surprisingly difficult election to forecast is that this time, 4 years ago, September 28th, 2016, one in six voters, 16% of the electorate, was undecided or committed to voting for someone like Gary Johnson. Today, it's not 16% of Americans who aren't committed to either the Republican or Democrat. It's 7%, a lot lower. And that's important because undecided voters are a measure of uncertainty. You don't know how they're going to vote because they don't know how they're going to vote. And what we saw in 2016, I think, in the closing weeks, was that, you know, it looked like a lot of Americans changing their minds or making up their minds at the very last second. And those late mind makers were changing or making up their minds to vote for Trump, especially in that upper Midwest region where he eked out the most surprising victories. So if you have a smaller number of undecided voters, you could say that puts a limit, a boundary around how large your election night surprise is going to be. Like, of course, what we saw 4 years ago, which is that state polls were wrong. That could happen again. But you're not going to have something like 16% of the electorate make up its minds in the last 5 weeks. The vast, vast, vast majority of Americans knows which camp they're going to vote for, and there isn't a large cohort that's holding out for a third party.
And is this partly explaining why Nate Silver and others, you know, were so wrong about Hillary Clinton at this point in the campaign in 2016? He said she had a 57.8% chance of winning. Is this why you are more receptive to his model this year that puts Biden at 78%?
Yeah, I respect Nate. I don't know his methodology exactly, so I can't reach in there and pluck out the weeds of methodological difference that I have with him. But let me say this. 4 years ago this day, September 28th, Hillary Clinton was up 1.9% in an average of polls. Today, Biden is up just over 7%. So he's up 5 percentage points more than Hillary Clinton was 4 years ago exactly. Also, she was just polling around 43%. Again, there were all these undecided voters. Today, Biden is at just over 50%. That's really important. Those are really significant differences. I think that we look back 4 years ago to the surprise that so many of us felt on that November night when Trump won, and forget that this was a really close election. This was a dynamic election. Trump was up in a lot of general election polls in September, not maybe so many, but in a few really important general election polls in September and October, Trump was up. He's down between 5, 8, 10% now in most general election polls from highly graded pollsters. So yes, of course, the state polls can be wrong again. Trump could absolutely become a president for another 4 years. But I think we make this mistake by forgetting how much closer 2016 was compared to 2020 has been so far.
So you're saying avoid group socialized moods, pay attention to some of this, you know, this math that you're laying out for us. And of course, it could all change because we're digesting explosive news from the Times and tomorrow is the first debate. Everything could change. Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic. Thanks as always.
Thank you.